What I want to talk with you about today is three things that I believe are the key to successful groups. I've been in groups ministry for a long time, and I've seen a lot of good groups. I've seen a few great groups, and I've seen a lot of bad groups. And I want to talk about the three things that I think it takes to have great groups. Now, every church has its own strategy. Every church has its own vision. Every church has its own method of how groups work and how they meet and what it means to be successful and the structure and all those types of things. But there's some things that transcend all of those areas and really make great groups. And that's what I want to talk with you about. The three kind of like big rocks of groups. It's like that. Maybe you've seen that old illustration where it's like, you know, somebody's got a container and they've got some rocks on there and some sand on there and some pebbles on there. And they're like, how do you fill this container up? And they do the thing where, you know, you got to put the big rocks in first. That's what I want to talk with you about. The big rocks to make groups great. And I'm going to talk about three things. Three things. And then, you know, I grew up in the Baptist church. So not only do we have 3 points, we got sub points for this thing. All right. And I'm also a youth pastor, so I didn't get Casey my slides early enough. So you're just going to have to write them down and hang with me. Okay. So I'm going to give you three things, three different big rocks. And then for each of those, there's just going to be a few things under there that I want to share with you. All right. So the first rock, the biggest rock, I think, in having a great group is leadership. Leadership. No surprise. Right. Because everything rises and falls on leadership. Leadership means that we as the leaders of groups, you carry the responsibility to help people move further in their faith, right? And that's a big responsibility, really, when you think about it. Like, we are entrusted with helping people take steps of faith. And that's why you're in this room, because what you do matters. There's a leadership principle that many of us know if you're in any type of leadership and you have any background in it. It's called the law of the lid, right? The law of the lid basically says that any organization, any enterprise, any group, any business will only rise to the level of its leadership. In other words, your group will rise to the level that it is led at. So whatever role you take in that group, whether you're the teacher, director, you're coordinating things, you do even socials, whatever it is, your leadership ultimately determines how successful that group is. And this is why this. I tell my team at Lake Point this. Every single month, we have a staff training, and it always ends with this. Hey, you teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. It's a great groups principle. As a matter of fact, every pastor that's ever worked on a church staff has heard that principle repeated. It's a charge to pastors to think of themselves and be like, hey, what's the Lord doing in my life? Where am I growing? All of those types of things. But it's true for everybody that leads a group. Like, who we are as leaders ultimately determines the type of people that are sitting in our groups, right? We can teach good lessons. We can be organized, all of those types of things. But who we are in our walk with Jesus and who we are and whether we're growing in our walk with Christ ultimately comes out in the people that we're leading because we're replicating ourselves in them. So what do leaders do? Like I said, a couple sub points here. One thing leaders do is leaders provide direction. Leaders provide direction. Every group in this church and every church is going somewhere, right? It's going somewhere. The problem that I've noticed in groups is most groups are going there accidentally, all right? Like we're showing up and we're doing a great job of teaching the lesson and it's organized and everybody knows where to be and you got your, you know, if you're like our church, we like to put the name tags on the ribbons and pin them onto the wall and everybody's got the name tag. Like all of the things are going well to make the groups function on a weekly basis. But when we actually step back and we're like, well, where is this group going to be in 6 months? Where's this group going to be in a year? That becomes a harder question to answer sometimes. Right? Like leaders of groups, we should be providing direction to say, hey, what are we going to do to be better? Now, maybe that means you're going to reach some people. Maybe that means you're going to change and adjust how you're organized. Maybe you're going to adjust your teaching style. A healthy group leader is thinking beyond just the week end and thinking like, hey, who in this group needs to be known better? Who in this group needs to take the next spiritual step? Hey, who needs encouragement? Who needs to start serving? Right? It's understanding the people that you're leading and the giving them direction. Leaders also set the standard. That's the next thing to know about leaders. Leaders set the standard. James 3:1 tells us this, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. That's a bit of a kind of a a gut check verse, for lack of a better term. But a leader sets the standard for their people and for their group. So what that means is kind of like this. In my house, there's two things that always cause a little bit of argument in our house, all right? One of them is the electricity bill, but really what it is, it's the thermostat. And the other one is the remote control. I have never been in charge of the remote control once in the house since we have two daughters, right? They're going to watch whatever thing that I don't understand and don't care about. But I like to be in charge of the thermostat because everybody else will keep it 107 degrees in there, all right? So I like to be in charge of the thermostat. Listen, as leaders, there's the thermostat and there's the thermometer. This is an old illustration if you've heard it before. But it's easy. Most people who come into a group or come into an organization, they're thermometers. In other words, whatever the group is, whatever the organization is, whatever the atmosphere and the temperature or the vibe or whatever of the group is, they just reflect that. The leader is the thermostat that says, hey, I want our group to be this, so I'm going to model that. Hey, I want our group to be the most welcoming group at this church, so I'm going to make sure I'm at the door welcome every single person that comes in. Hey, I want our church, our group to be the most serving group in this church. So I'm going to make sure that we got serving opportunities. Whatever it is, the leader sets the standard in their own life. And the reason that's important is because what I said earlier, you teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. And so as the leader, the standard that you're setting gets reproduced in other people that you're leading. That's the beauty of group leadership. You know, I've had the privilege to serve under several different pastors, and three of the pastors that I've served under have been some of the best men I've ever known. They've been incredible to work for. I mean, there's been tough times, difficult times, but I always love serving under them because of their character, right? Like they set a standard that said, this is what we're going to be, and this is what we're going to be about, and we're going to be anchored to the word. We're going to follow in Jesus, and even when things are difficult, we're going to lean into that. I also worked for one gentleman one time who I, of course, would never name, but man, he was the worst person I ever worked for. And what was the difference? It was the standard that he set, his commitment, his character, right? As leaders in your group, the standard that you set determines the atmosphere of that group. And that'd be the last thing about leadership to say is that leaders shape the atmosphere. Leaders shape the atmosphere. I think it's good where we can just kind of state the obvious, like we're in the people business in church, right? I had a guy on our staff team one time tell me like, man, I love working in student ministry. It's just hard because of all the teenagers. He does not work on our staff team anymore. But anyways, he works in a different ministry area. All right, so like we're in the people business. In other words, what I mean by that is we are not here, and Casey's going to talk to you about all these tactical things and all the things that we have to do to make groups run well, but we are not here to make groups be great for the sake of making groups be great. We're here because you're the people that are going to help people take spiritual steps towards Jesus, going to grow in their faith, going to read their Bible more, going to pray more, going to share their faith, going to invite somebody into church, like take a big step and take that job because God called them to it, and all of these types of things. We're in the people business. And so when we build atmospheres in our groups, they should be atmospheres that are people-oriented. In other words, here's what I mean by that. Our groups, because of the atmosphere we set, should be places of acceptance and love. And here's why that's so important. It's easy for people to come into church and to church be the place that maybe just because of the atmosphere, people feel very guarded and people feel very unwilling to share their struggles and their challenges and their hurts. I don't know if you've ever experienced that in your own life. But when we create atmospheres of love and acceptance, then people are willing to share those things. And here's why that's important. Because for the people that come in and put on a false front, those are the hardest people to disciple. Because you're discipling something that's not even real. They're putting this out there and they're saying, hey, everything's great with me. It's all good. No problems. And they've got deep hurt. But you can't help them because you don't know it. Right? Like our groups, the atmosphere we set should be places of love and acceptance. That's why Acts 15:19, this is the very first time that the church came together and they kind of had like a church council and made a decision and they said this, it's my judgment therefore that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. In other words, for people that are coming into our groups, there's already challenges, right? Like, it's already difficult. The gospel's already offensive to people. All of these things that we know, we should create atmospheres that make it the easiest to step into as possible, all right? So rock number one is leadership. Let me give you rock number two. Rock number two. Rock number two is vision. You, if you're going to have a great group, must have a vision for your group. In the absence of vision, what generally takes place is people act and do things that are very trivial. In other words, this, it's the whole Bible concept, the Old Testament concept of everyone does what's right in their own mind, all right? In other words, without vision, here's how your group's gonna go. People are gonna show up, you're gonna have a great discussion, you maybe even have a good social, people are there, people are busy, but there's no movement towards growth in their walk, or their group is not changing and bettering and growing. None of those things are bad. They're all actually very important parts of the group. But without vision, where are we moving towards? So what is vision? Vision's got to be biblically driven. Habakkuk 2, 1 and 2 says this, "I'll stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I will give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelations, make it plain on the tablets so that a herald may run with it." In other words, this, every one of us as followers of Jesus, we should have a vision for our own life. But as a leader of a group, do you feel like you could clearly articulate a biblical vision for your group? Now, the church, like every church has, hey, this is what our mission is, this is what our vision statement is, all those types of things. This is what we hope groups are. But every group should have an idea of like, hey, this is what we want our group to be about. I work with middle school students a lot. And this week, we're gonna have our first week of middle school groups for the fall semester. And so literally what's gonna happen is every middle school group, the students are gonna come in and there's a post-it note, giant, one of those giant post-it notes on the wall. Big fan of those giant post-it notes. I go through hundreds every year, all right? There's a big giant post-it note on the wall. And they've got, their leader's got a Sharpie. And they have this exercise. This is the whole first week of groups. And it's like, hey, what are our goals for this year? I want everybody in this group to share something that they hope this group does this year. And it's middle school, so we get a lot of funny stuff. Sometimes the leaders are like, hey, this is middle school guys. This is sixth grade boys. Goal number one, everyone wears deodorant. All right? If we can do that, we have succeeded and become more like Jesus. All right? Maybe not. Jesus probably didn't have deodorant. But anyways, right? Like, they're making goals. And it may be simple. They're young. It may be like, hey, our goal is that everybody memorizes a verse this year. It may be something like, hey, our goal is that we all share our faith this year. Our goal is that we have six students showing up right now. At the end of the year, we got 10, right? Like whatever their goals are. But hey, even that, they're middle school students and they're being vision led. Their group has a vision for the future of what they want to be about and where they want to grow. And so they're biblically based. But here's why this is important. The second thing about vision. It's because as leaders, we have to think vision before we think tactical. I don't know about you, but I'm a tactical thinker. In other words, I was the guy in school that, man, I made good enough grades. I'm not really a brain type oriented person. I'm not an academic oriented person, but I was somebody that was always like, man, I gotta have a plan. I gotta have a plan. What's my plan for this? And so in ministry, it's easy for me to be tactically oriented. Hey, we're gonna do a new group. What day is it gonna meet? When's it going to be? What room's it going to be in? Who's going to be in all the jobs? We're going to do all these things and figure out the what's. But the vision helps us figure out the, like, where are we going? And when you don't have a vision for like, hey, we want to be a group that reaches people. Or we want to be a group that helps people really learn the Bible. Or we want to be a group that does this. You're going to have a hard time figuring out the tactical until you know the vision of your group. You have to know where you're going before you can figure out how to get there. When you know the vision of group and your role in that vision, the path forward becomes clear. And then here's the last thing about vision, is that leaders move people toward the vision. Leaders move people toward the vision. We're in the people business. So as a Connect group leader, like you're thinking, hey, if the goal is that we want to be a group where we can, like we share our faith, that everybody shares their faith once a year, Man, you're thinking, okay, let me think tactically about that. Let me figure out how I'm going to do that. Man, I'm going to make sure that everybody in my group is trained in some sort of evangelism tool. I'm going to make sure everybody in my group has some type of card that they've gotten the name of somebody who doesn't know Jesus that they've written down. And I'm like, you're thinking through all of these things to help move people towards the vision that you have for your group. You're beginning to execute on it, which leads me to the last rock. And this is the one I want to talk with you about tonight. I went through the other ones pretty quick. I want to talk with you about this one especially. And the big rock number three, and this is where I feel like most groups ministries, it can be really an interesting challenge for us for a lot of reasons, but it's the rock of execution. Execution. You know, we have a faith. Sorry, getting a little thirsty here. We have a faith that is rooted in grace, right? Our faith is rooted in grace. So it's not what you and I can do, but it's what Christ has done for us on the cross. And because of that free gift of grace, we can be saved. Now, here's the beauty of that we don't have anything to do with it, really. Like, it's all what Jesus did. Here's the thing that can sometimes trip us up. While that's, when we would share that about salvation, we would say, amen, amen, amen. When it comes to actually stepping into how we're supposed to live out our faith, we've actually got to at some point put execution towards it, all right? And here's what I mean. A lot of leaders have good intention in groups. Hey, man, we should really follow up with everybody. Hey, we should really raise up another leader. We should grow. We should invite more people. We should do these things. We should serve. But then when it comes to actually executing on them, it becomes really difficult. There was a time in my life, back when Casey and I used to work together, I was a runner. All right. And when I mean a runner, like I ran a lot. We were running half marathons like every other month. I was really into this. I had two kids and I said that was a fun season of life and moved on. But I was at one point in my life a runner. Okay. If you were to come up to me now and or if you were to go into my house, maybe here's a better example. If you were to go into my house, my closet is divided into two sections. The clothes that fit and the clothes if I just, you know, 5-10 pounds. These would be back in, all right? These would be back in the rotation, all right? That's how it is for me. So here's the deal. Back when I ran a lot, I used to read about running, which if you want some fun reading, just read about running. I don't know. I mean, it hasn't changed in 2,000 years, all right? But I would read about it. This is the era that we're in. I would read blog posts about it, all right? Some of you are like, oh, I just got into those. They're done, all right? I would read about those. I would read in magazines. And so I knew all this stuff. And I had the equipment too. In my bedroom, to this day, I have a very nice, what was very nice like 20 years ago, treadmill, all right? It was cutting edge. Like you could type in an address and you could say, hey, I want to run this route. And it could be anywhere in the world. And it would give you like a screen where you would see the street view where you were running. I mean, it was so nice. And it's sitting in my bedroom to this day. Here's the only problem. It is mostly used to put hangers on. All right. I don't know if you have this item in your bedroom or if you've done this and you're like, man, I think about how much I spent on that. And now I just do that to dry those clothes. All right. So here's the point. I could really, according to my doctor, lose about 5 or 10 pounds. That would be a good thing for me. And I know in my mind that that's important. And I even know what I need to do to make that happen. If I would just hop on that thing and run for about 20 minutes every day, 30 minutes every day, then I'd be exactly where I needed to be. But the knowing doesn't actually make it a reality. The doing is what makes it a reality. And so here's the key, here's the takeaway. When it comes to us as leaders and teachers of people who are seeking to grow in their faith, imparting knowledge is the baseline and it is beneficial. It is the starting line. But sometimes we think, hey, giving people the knowledge and leading our groups in understanding is the finish line, when in reality, that's just the beginning. There's got to be a moment where we begin to execute on the leadership and the vision and all of these types of things in our groups ministry so that we can actually see transformed and changed lives. In other words, it's actually doing the vision that makes it impactful into people's lives. So let me talk a little bit about execution. A couple things about it. First thing is, execution is intentional. Execution's intentional. groups don't grow and become healthy and get better by accident. In other words, I don't know about you, but there have been many times in my life where in my own personal walk with Christ, where I've had moments where I'm like, you know, I wish that I had more of the Bible memorized. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. Maybe you're like, no, I'm pretty good on the memorization and I would love to hang out with you. But most of us feel like, man, I wish I knew more Bible. But wishing to know that and putting action to it are two totally different things, right? Or wishing that I had a deeper study of God's word is different than me actually marking more of my day off. Like, hey, if I wish I had this more study of God's word in my life, but I don't plan and prepare for it and build it into my schedule, it's not gonna happen. And the same thing is true with groups. Saying, hey, I hope our group grows this year. I hope we reach some people this year. Man, I really hope that we can get another leader into this group so that there can be some leadership development. Like, hope is not the strategy, right? We've got to have some execution to it, and it's got to be intentional. In other words, there's got to be thought put to, hey, if this is the vision, what are we going to do to bridge reality and vision and to make these things meet together? What are we going to do to execute on this? Without execution, great vision is just chatter. And so there becomes a moment where we've got to become intentional about it. The other thing about execution is it's result-oriented. Execution is result-oriented. We can talk about discipleship and care and getting into God's word, missions, all day. But eventually we have to ask, hey, are these things really taking place in our groups? Because execution focuses on results. Now, here's what I would say. I oversee student ministry at our church, and this, just to be honest, we have Saturday night services, and last night in our student ministry service, it was really, really bad, all right? I can tell all you that. Nobody's gonna go tell our people, but like, it was not good, all right? It was not a good night. I didn't think that we did a great job with greeting people when they came in. I didn't think that we did a good job with teaching God's word. I didn't think we had our leaders prepared for discussion. But let me tell you what. We look at it from a results base and we say, hey, our vision is that when teenagers walk in, they feel that they're known and cared for. Did we do that? Man, we have this vision that they're discipled by a caring adult who knows how to impart God's word to them. Did we do that? We're looking at the results and we're saying, hey, it's not just like, we're not just looking at a number. We're looking at, hey, what's really happening in people's lives? We have a vision for what happens in their lives. Did the result match the vision? And when it doesn't, we got to say, hey, like, what do we need to change in our execution to better attain that? How can we better prepare our leaders? What can we improve there? How can we get more people over here at the door just to shake people's hands and give them a high five when they walk in? Healthy leaders are willing to examine the fruit. One of the hardest things to do is be results-based in ministry. Because here's the reality. You prepared for your lesson. You showed up early. You got the room ready. You probably prayed over the morning. And then you had the group. You had your connect group. And so you've put your heart and your soul and even a piece of you spiritually into that. And when you do that, it's sometimes difficult to look and be like, man, this wasn't as great as we would hope it would be. But we've got to be willing to look at the fruit and ask questions like, hey, are people building relationships in this group? Or are they just showing up? Hey, are members caring for each other? Are people taking spiritual next steps? Are people being welcomed? Or is our group participating in the mission of the church? And to figure out like, hey, where is the fruit that's really being brought out by our group? And here's the last thing about execution, is that execution is specific. Execution is specific. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. This is one thing that's common to all Christians in all times. I believe if we were to go back to the early disciples, we would see this as well. I don't know if you've ever had somebody walk up to you in church and they begin to tell you about something going on in their life. And maybe it's somebody with a relative, something health, something like that. They get done and you just say, man, I'll pray for you. And then you're walk away. All right. I don't know if you've ever actually like had that moment where you're like, man, next Sunday you showed up and you're like, I forgot to pray for that person. Right. It's a tough feeling. It's even tougher when you're on the other side and you're like, I wonder if they actually prayed for me, if they just wanted me to leave them alone, right? Like there's execution has got to be specific rather than just like, hey, it would be great. Execution is saying, hey, better than saying somebody should follow up with them, who's going to follow up with that person? Better than saying like, hey, we want to reach people in our group. Hey, what are we going to do to reach people in our group? Hey, we should serve together as a group sometime. Well, specific is saying, hey, what are we actually going to do to go and serve? At some point, aspiration has to become perspiration in our groups. And we have to get specific about the execution that we're doing. In other words, in all of this, what I'm trying to help paint a picture of is that in the end, there is a vision that we as the leaders of our groups are called by God to set. But there has to be a moment where we figure out how to make that vision a reality in the people that we're leading. Because as a group leader, ultimately our role is to help people grow in their faith, to take steps of faith towards Christ. That because they're involved in a group, they're like sitting there thinking like, hey man, like this group has helped me understood I should take that job. This group has helped me understood maybe I should marry that person. This group has helped me understood like I need to change this about my parenting. These are real big spiritual decisions in people's lives, and the group environment, like the coming together of believers, the iron sharpening iron, the teaching of God's word, all of that works together to help people make those decisions. But that comes from execution, from actually saying, hey, I'm just gonna hope it happens. I'm not just gonna hope that the church gets it done and by the gathering of all of these people, it comes together, but instead that we kind of get off the sidelines, because vision without execution is no results. Man, execution is the thing that makes all of this come together. So let me just bring these three big ideas together. It's that leadership provides direction, vision clarifies where we're going, and execution turns it all into specific action. It's that leadership provides direction, execution turns it into specific action, or excuse me, vision clarifies where we're going, and execution turns it into specific action. Man, if I could just leave you with an encouragement today, it's that you have maybe the most important role in the church as the leaders of Connect Groups, because this is kind of like the bone and the sinew of the church, right? Like this is the thing that ties everyone together. And so my hope is that your groups would be a place where there's leadership being led out to a vision that's given by God, and that there's execution to bring that vision into reality. And so what I'd like to do is I'd just like to pray for you as the leaders of the group. And if you would just bow your heads. And I just want to pray over you in those three areas, that you would be given a vision for your group, that God would use you as a leader, and that you would find execution in that vision. Father God, I thank you for every one of these leaders that is willing to take their time, their talent, energy, efforts, they're willing to pour out from their cup so that others could grow in their faith and their walk and their journey with your son. And I just thank you for this group's ministry, that we would understand that this is some of the most important work of the church, that this is the group that is going to help this church reach new people. It's going to help lead people towards a deeper faith. It's going to help put people on mission. And that we in this room, that these leaders, that they would have a vision for those that they're leading. That they would look at the people that you've entrusted to them and they would say, where are you taking these people, Lord? How can I be a part of that? And then we would get up off the sidelines and we would help people along the way. Because we want to be used by you to see great things done in your church. And I pray for every one of them, that you would give them vision and direction, that you give them strength and stamina for the journey ahead, that you would help them be cheered on and encouraged by your spirit, and that your word would permeate their lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.